God bless you this evening. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can come here tonight, Lord. Just gather together as believers in this little building, Father, where you provided for us, Lord. And Lord, we come to step away from the things of the world, the jobs and the troubles and whatever we're going through, the good things and the bad. And Father, just to relax in your presence for a while. Lord, I ask that you come and refresh us tonight, Lord. Just give us a new strength, Lord. Just, Lord, take our faith and just take it up a notch, Lord Jesus. Anoint us, Father, for the life that you have provided for us, that we have the things we have to do, the duties we have to fulfill, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and just strengthen us. Open our eyes to see more of you, Father. Bless us tonight, Lord. Bless the ones who couldn't make it tonight. Just, Lord, remember them, Lord. Keep your hand on them too, Father. I ask this in your name. Amen. I'm going to read just one verse out of Proverbs 3:3-5. We'll be seated. Proverbs 3:5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Lean not unto thine own understanding. You'll be seated. So Sunday I spoke on, last couple of services, spoke on a place of rest, and I thought I was done, and then got studying a little more, and it brought me back to some more on this, so we're going to speak some more about a place of rest, and tonight I want to call this lean not to thine own understanding. In Romans 10, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And so what we're seeing here is back there when Solomon said, "Lean not unto their own understanding," they're leaning to their own understanding. Because they had Christ came and he showed them the way, and he was the light for that day, and they just said, "No, we don't want that light." They leaned to their own understanding. And he said, "Well, why would they do that?" Here are these people, they are so zealous for God. They were God's chosen people. They have all their history of all their prophets. And then here comes one that fulfilled the very word that the Messiah was supposed to fulfill, and they rejected him. You say, "Well, why would they do that? What's wrong?" Well, let's look at this a little bit. On Sunday, we made the statement that we do not rest in what we do. Our rest comes from who we are. Because if you are elect, then all that the elect get is yours. We call ourselves heirs with Christ Jesus, right? Well, what does that mean to be heirs with Christ Jesus? All his righteousness, all his power, all his authority over the devil, all the deliverance, his salvation, everything that Christ has is yours because you are joint heirs with Christ. And so anything you have need of, it's yours already. Simply because you were elect. That means you are a child of God and God takes care of his own kids. God's kids do not have to go without if they don't want to. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to have trials and there's going to be time, lean times and all that, but brother and sister, everything you have need of is yours. God will make sure you have, he's going to take care of your needs. Amen. Didn't say once. There's the problem, right? Well, I want this and I want that. You know, that's how we pray sometimes. We want something, so we say, "I'm just going to claim that and believe that and pray." And that's not the way God's kids pray. God's kids pray, "Father, what is your will?" Ooh. Sometimes his will is not our will for our old flesh, and so we have to just kind of die to ourselves and accept his will. But the thing is, rest. It's all good. He's gonna take care of it. Even when we make mistakes and do things we shouldn't do, and we had to pay some consequences because you reap what you sow, he's gonna make that work out to your own good. Isn't that exciting? My. I think it's exciting. We can rest. But now, that's only for the elect. Only the elect get this, but everyone else thinks they got it. There's the problem. Not talking everybody, I'm talking about believers, Christians. But if you're a Christian, but you're not elect, you're going to think you have this. You think you're in the rest. You think you know who you are. But without revelation, you don't. And it only comes by revelation, and that revelation is only for the elect. Ain't that amazing? You can't get it. I'm preaching Sunday sermon. You can't get it if God don't give it to you. Brother Branham said, you can sit there in the Word and study and study and study and not get anything, and God doesn't give it to you, you're not wasting your time, but He has to be the one to give you revelation. So what do? They have to have something. They have to be religious. They want to be saved. And brother, sister, some of these people are going to be saved. Don't get me wrong. But they're not going to be saved the way you and I are saved, because they're going to stand at judgment. And let me get off my subject just a second. People want to live so good, and they want to show God how good they are, and they want to show people how good they are. I said, God, okay. God says, okay, I'll judge you according to your works then. I don't want to be judged according to my works. My works are horrible. I don't want to bring up my history and have everyone look at what I've done. Oh, my goodness. Don't let you have to do that. But people who have refused God's righteousness, like they said, Israel, they refused God's righteousness, went about establishing their own. God said, you want to establish your own righteousness? Fine, I'll judge you according to that. And they're going to stand and be judged according to their own righteousness. And there's not going to be any mercy. What you did, you're going to pay. This is what you did. You want to be judged by your righteousness? Fine. And you know how many people are going to be justified? None. But He's going to give life because of some things that some people did in this life. Because they were what? They were good to the bride. They were something respectful to Christ. However it is, there's different things Brother Branham said, but that's how they're going to get life. And you're going to be playing along, and your life is going to be like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. And all of a sudden, it's going to be showed something that they did. And it might have been enough, as simple as you worked with a member of the bride, and one day that member was discouraged, and you went over there and said something kind to him. God is amazing. He does it the way He wants. And there's someone else standing over there. I fed the poor. I did this, and I kept the church going. I preached. I did all that. I did everything like this. And he said, I never knew you. When you came in contact with Christ, you belittled it. You didn't want it. What a kind of life we should live to make people be able to respect the Christ we have. My. So what do? Without the revelation, they can't rest in who they are, although they think they are, so they have to rest in religion. That's what it is. Doctrines. Without the revelation of the doctrines, and they believe, they say they believe all the same things we say we believe. You could have 100 people sitting in here tonight, and all of 100 message believers, and all of them saying, amen, Phil, that's right. And a dozen of them actually know what I'm talking about. Because everyone else in the world will be deceived. Everyone. My. You say, well, how do you know, Brother Phil? Well, first of all, I'm not sitting here saying you got to judge December. Well, this one is and this and that. Don't even do that. That's ridiculous. That's up to God. But by the fruits you will know them. And what happens, brother and sister, when a person sits there on their own stuff, their own religion, their own doctrines, they are going to get off the Word. They are going to find a minister that scratches the ears and preaches the kind of religion they want. And they are going to get off the Word. And the further you go down the road, the further off they're going to get. And you can see it. Look at all, look back. You all been around the message a long time. Look back in the last 30, 20, 30, 40 years and see the doctrines that rose up. See this personality rose up. And what happens? They slowly get further and further away until, well, that's not deceiving anymore. Can I just be real honest? What's going on in Jeffersonville is not deceiving. It's obvious by now. It is just organized religion. It's all it is. It's the saddest thing. But it's not deceiving. My. All kinds of things are going through my mind as examples. You know the examples. We'll keep going. See, this is what happens. You mix the word. Because it's not revealed, you mix it with your own ideas. You can't help it. It's human nature. And without the revelation, the only thing that keeps us from being deceived is revelation. God shows us the truth. That's the only thing. And without that, they are going to get off. And then you get off here, and the further you go, the more off you can see. But they're too proud, and they're too blinded to get back. Because the only way to get back is to get back to the message of the hour, the revelation of the message of the hour. And without the revelation, you can't get back, because what you've done, when you hybrid that seed, that's the direction you're going. You can't take that hybrid seed and make it pure again. You got to go all the way back to zero. And how many people are going to do that? Y'all did. Some of you were off on the wrong thing. I was off on the wrong thing. But you know what? There was something inside that I got to have life, and it took me back to zero. I said, okay, let's start again. Isn't that amazing? But see, brother and sister, the only way to do that is to have the message of your hour, the message for your age. You had to get that word. That's the only thing can do it, because otherwise you're hybriding the word. That's why when Wesley came along, the Lutherans, if they didn't jump over and walk in the light of Wesley, they went off into darkness, because Wesley had the message of their hour. This is obvious, right? Pentecost came along, and what the Wesleyans had anymore wasn't enough, and you had to step on into the new light. And if they didn't do that, they stayed with Wesley and the Methodism. They went off into darkness. And when the message of the hour came along, all the other denominations, all the non-denominations, all other religions in the world, when that light of our message came along, if you did not step into that light, you went off into darkness. Otherwise, there's no reason for God to send a message. You have to be in the message of the hour to know Christ. Otherwise, you have just a doctrine or an idea or a sensation or something else, but you do not have Christ if you don't have the message of the hour. So that's really straight, but I'm just saying what the prophet said. You know that. Do we believe the prophet or not? You have to have the message for your age. And they do. How many message believers have it? They have the message for the age, but it's a doctrine. It's an education. It's not a revelation. You say, well, how do you know that? Because they keep going off in false doctrines. They take and make their own religion. You know why? They see a little bit of light. They see a little bit of truth. You know what happened? The prophet came light, and people got excited. And even now, people, you know, as they're growing up, and the message, man, the message is true, and it's exciting. And they get carried away. They get excited. And look at this, and we have this going on. And they get carried away with their own stuff. It puffs them up until they love their religion more than the vindicated word. The Pharisees love their religion more than they love Christ. It's been that way in every age ever since. Let me read some scriptures for you real quick. And you know this, so you don't even have to turn to it. Matthew 24:24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible. 2 Thessalonians. Boy, I'm troubled to speak in English, I tell you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So here comes the deceivers. Back there, Jesus said, those false Christ, or what's that? False anointed ones. And here in Thessalonians, Paul said, he's saying, coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So that's how they're deceptive, because they have signs and wonders. They perform miracles. They're anointed with the Holy Ghost. They heal the sick and raise the dead and cast out devils by the Holy Ghost. Well, how could that be wrong? Because it's so close that you and I can tell the difference. Why? Because the Holy Spirit discerns and reveals it to us. It ain't because we're so smart. Try to lean to your own understanding. Try to figure it out on your own. You'll find out yourself in a ditch somewhere. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. My. Let me just put that all together. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So the deceivingness of unrighteousness in that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They love their own religion more. They love what this is here. They love this. They love these other things. They did not receive a love of the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth. The truth is Christ, the Word manifest. That's the problem. They did not receive a love of the truth that might be saved. And for this cause, why? This hurts to say it. Because they would not receive a love of the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. They had pleasure in rejecting Christ and the message churches. They had pleasure in chasing after their doctrines. They had pleasure chasing after their sensations and their anointing and refusing Christ the Word in their day. And he said, because of that, I'm going to give you a delusion, and you're going to believe that lie, and you're going to go to hell for it. God's going to do that, not me or you. God's going to do that. My. Because they weren't elect. And they chased after some other doctrine and some other creed. And they put their rest in their own understanding. Let me read one more place here. Jeremiah 5, it says this. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people. He's talking to Israel. He's talking to his own people, the believers of that day. He said, hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Didn't Jesus say over and over, he said, blessed are you of eyes to see and ears to hear? Because they had them, they couldn't see. Fear you not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree that it cannot pass? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over. He said, don't you know who I am? I'm the one who set the earth in place. When the sons of God were shouting for joy, I was putting the foundation of the world in place. Don't you fear me? Haven't I proved who I am? He said, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Rebellious heart. We're not going to be under, we're not going to listen to that. We're not going to be under that ministry. We're not going to have that kind of a Christ. When Christ came, we are not going to have that kind of Messiah. We're going to have our own Messiah. We refuse this. We refuse the word for our day. We refuse this. Why? Because their old nature, like I said the other day, your old nature is Satan's nature. He is a rebel to begin with. He's always rebellious, and he will always rebel against the truth, but he's going to find some nice way to make it look like you're still right. What did he do with Eve, right? She sat there and quoted the word to him. He quoted it back to her. He added a little word, and she wanted him to be right, and so she accepted it, and she was deceived. She's made a choice. Turned over delusion. Delusion. Let me read something here. Brother Branham talking about Eve. He said, Eve, at the same stage, carried away by her supernatural understanding, she had a theological experience. Her education was supreme to any theologian in the country at that time. She had learned something. The serpent had taught her, preached to her, and she had accepted it because she wanted it to be true, because she lusted for knowledge. He said, you can be like God. And she goes, oh, what does God mean? Why do we? What is this about? Can we do this? We can't do that. And he appealed to that, and she listened, and after a while, she started believing it because she listened long enough. That's human nature. That's what propaganda is. That's why you tell governments and politicians, they tell people the same thing over and over, and it's what they want to hear is until they start believing it. And then they'll give their life for it, even though way back there they knew it was wrong. See, she was so carried away, she didn't know it. She didn't know she was carried away. She liked what she had so much. She was enjoying it so much. I'm going to just give an example. Here, several years ago, when we were still out at the Pond community, there was a minister come by, and he brought his church with us. And those of you who are around, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And he would preach, and they were the most worshiping people ever, and it was amazing. I mean, they would shout and scream and dance, and we'd just have a wonderful time. And they kind of, I think what they were trying to do is promoting the idea that we're going to worship ourselves so well until we're going to worship ourselves into the rapture. That's what's going to bring the rapture, when the bride is worshiping right. And they would worship. You all know what I'm talking about. We were dancing and singing and having a big time. They preached there. He went to another church in the area. Preached there. He came back like that Wednesday night. He came back the next Sunday. He said, we had a service there. He said, in one service, that entire church was totally free. Free from what? Because they could jump up and dance and shout? They were Pentecostal to begin with. They never came out of Pentecost. They claimed to be message believers, but their pastor had never come out of Pentecost. It was the saddest thing ever when you look back and say, oh, they're totally free from. They were still bound by their denominational ideas. What do you mean they're free? Just because they can worship? Devils can worship? But they liked it. And it was fun. And it was enjoyable. And people wanted to come to church because there's so much going on. And there's so much excitement. And there's such an anointing. Until it fizzled out. Christ, the word don't fizzle out, folks. No, he doesn't. He ain't just a soda pop experience to begin with. Just a carbonated beverage. Ooh, this feels good. This tingles. Tell you what. Carried away, didn't know it. She knew she had something that Adam never had. Perhaps she'd be able to rule over him right now because she knew more about it than her Adam. Think about it. Said, so watch what their Adams are doing today. Yeah, they're giving into that. Perverts. She knew good from evil. Fine education of the truth. That's right. She had a fine education of the truth that she didn't know before, and it was God's truth. Remember, look, folks, what Satan, what the serpent told her, it was true. Except the part about you shall not die. Oh, yes, you will, Eve. She found out, too. But she had, look, it's just like message believers that come to the message and they see the truth and they recognize we got more than the denominational churches. We got a lot more truth. We got a lot more light, as we call it. But if it's just on the page, it ain't light. If it's just in your mind, it ain't light yet. It's not light until it manifests. And if all you can see is light from yesterday manifest, you need to see it manifesting today. And we got more than they do. I've heard many times over the years preachers saying, our 10-year-old kids know more than the preacher down at the seminary about Christ, know more about God than them at the seminary. And you know what? They're right. And what good does that do? Just knowing about God? You're in the same boat as there. Without the revelation, you're not going to go to heaven anyway. So what good does it do? Brother and sister, we got to get people to Christ, not just to the message. You got to get people to the fulfillment of the message. That's Christ. Otherwise, it's just an education. And you're going to stand there on judgment day, and God's going to look at you and say, you knew the message of the hour. I sure did. I knew everything the prophet said. Did you know Christ? Well, I had a sensation one time. Exactly. She had a fine education of the truth that she didn't know before, and it was God's truth, but she was dead by breaking the word. And you take this word, you take the message, and you start adding to it or taking away. And you know what? You know, back in the time Brother Branham was here, it was all about cutting hair and wearing pants and all that. And you go around most message churches, most of them, and you don't see that problem anymore because that's the rule that people tend to follow. But you know what they get now? You know, the one of the main things you see them breaking now is, are you going to have a sit under fivefold ministry or not? Are you going to have a pastor? Are you just going to listen to tapes? Are you going to follow this person because of who they are, because of the last name? Are you going to follow this because they have a big church? Or are you going to sit at the place that God tells you to sit and go in the rapture from there? Yeah. There's where you get people now. Yeah, everyone's got long hair and their own will to go with it. Are you willing to surrender yourself? So does the seminary give you a theological experience that you can quote every character of the Old Testament or the New? My. Seminaries, brother and sister. You know where the seminaries are today? End time message churches. Those are the seminaries. You can quote everything the prophet said. And when I say something the prophet said, and people say, amen, that's right, that's what the prophet said. You say something else, amen, that's what the prophet said. But where is the vindication of what he said? Just because you know what he said doesn't mean a lot. Is it happening in you? Is it happening through you? Theological experience is just an education. She had a fine education, but she was also dead in sin and trespasses. He said, now watch real close. Matthew 24 is the striking thing. Almost in the last day, Jesus said the very elect would be deceived by this thing. Watch the spirits. Ooh, remember, it's a spirit. It's a religious spirit that looks so much like Christ without the revelation. You cannot tell the difference. Because here's what's amazing. That false vessel is anointed by the genuine Holy Spirit. But that person's spirit on the inside from the heart is false. But it looks so right that you cannot tell the difference if you're not born again. And even then you can't tell if God don't say, okay, now, hey, something's here. You know, sometimes you just have a little nudge like something's wrong there. And they can preach. Oh my goodness, they can preach. They blow. I've sat in church, listen to some people, blow my mind. I said, my, if I could preach like that. 6 months later, they're not even in the message anymore. Well, you see their wife dressed like a prostitute. You say, there's something wrong? Because if it's just an education, I don't care how well they preach, God's not going to quicken that to you. Now, God can use that ministry and help you. Don't get me wrong. I sat under a minister named Jerry Bell for 8 years, and God used that ministry to keep me here. Of course, when Jerry Browning came along, he had to preach a lot of that stuff out of me that Jerry Bell preached into me. But he still kept me here through that ministry until it was time. Watch the spirits in the last day. Now that scripture would be fulfilled. Do you believe it? He said, now that was in the last days, the very elected, predestinated, elected to it would be deceived if it was possible. The only thing, brother and sister, like I said, the only thing that keeps us is the revelation. Jesus Christ revealing to you personally. And it's not a church. He don't reveal it to the whole church. He reveals it to you. There might be 20 people in here and half of them being deceived and the other half are right. I'm just throwing out numbers. Don't start counting people. I wonder which 10 he's talking about. But it's got to be you. And here's something else. He don't do it all the same time either. He might reveal it to Brother Paul something. He don't reveal that same thing to me till 3 years later. You walk in your own time. You walk in your own, the light for you. You walk as an individual. That's why when you see someone who doesn't seem to be coming along, don't give up. Don't throw, well, they're nothing to them. You don't know when they're going to come to it. I've been more wrong about this than just about anything I can think of. I knew this person was right, and I knew this person was born again, and find out, well, no, they're not. And then this person, well, that's a total renegade. They are so far off the road. Next thing you know, they're walking right along, just going on. Tell you what, we start trying to figure out who is who, we come up looking like an idiot. That's my experience. He said, so it's so perfect, it's so scriptural, and looks so pretty and clear that you can't see a flaw in it anyhow. Do you hear what he said? It's so scriptural. My. I'll just use another example. I use him a lot. I'm going to use my dad. He studied the message and he studied the Bible and he had years and years doing that. You sat down and talked to him. He could take that Bible, he could take the scripture, and he could prove without a shadow of a doubt that his doctrine is right. It was all there. Of course, you can take the same scriptures and quotes and prove without a shadow of a doubt he was wrong. Because you can prove anything you want. And it's a script, it's a spirit, some kind of devil with some kind of doctrine gets in there and he gets people to believe in something. And what my dad's weakness, just to be honest, was that he was easily influenced by people with a stronger spirit. So this guy named Estelle Beeler was influenced by my dad, and he kind of fell in it. And because Beeler said he was right, it made my dad feel special because he had all this revelation, and that's just drew him right away because it was what he wanted to be, a little bit more spiritual than other people. And that's where he's fell. It's easy to do for, we all have something. We all have some place like that where Satan will try to get you chasing one thing or another. He knows your weakness. Brother Brandon says he has a right to hit at it. He said, you got a shot coming. He can take a shot at you. So perfect, so scriptural, looks so pretty and clear, you can't see a flaw in it anyhow. Only the elect will escape it. My. Why, it's perfectly scriptures. You can see it with the natural eye. But you see, that isn't it. Them Pharisees had that scripture just as perfect as it could be, but by their own interpretation. That's the problem. You can take this and you can prove something and it's so perfect according to the Bible, but it's your own interpretation. He said, how did they know he wasn't wrong? Talking about Christ. Because God vindicated every word that he promised to him in that age. That's the reason they knew he was the Messiah. That's how you know what's right or wrong, when God vindicates it. But God backs it up. Don't sit up there and take Brother Jerry's word or Brother Phil's word or any other brother's word. You wait till God backs it up and vindicates it. He proves whether it's right or not. And then you know where you're standing. If it's just someone preaching something, you don't know if it's right or not. God has to vindicate it. God has to prove it. God has to speak to you. God has to show you as an individual. Otherwise, it's just someone's idea. Talking about the church, she denies the word to make Matthew 24:24 real to her. She tries to move in with a lot of noise, a lot of this, a lot of social standing, things like that, trying to say, well, we got power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got power. But the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, so close it would deceive the very elected. The power to do what? We got power. We shout, we jump, we dance, we heal the sick. But what about the power to change a life, to change a nature, to bring someone to a new birth? There's where the power they don't have. Then that's the only power that matters when you get down to it. Because if you don't have the power to change a life, which only comes by the birth, the word birth in you, if you don't have that, the rest of this stuff don't mean anything. Who cares how much you can dance and shout and preach and do anything else if you don't have the power to change a life, to change the nature? That's all that matters. He said, notice, a false power. That's exactly what Satan wanted to give to Jesus. Get up there and make himself show off. It's a false power. Because if that word isn't there to change your life, to bring you to a new birth, to recognize Christ, to have the eyes to see, to take that scab off your eyes so you can see Christ, so you can hear the voice of God. If you don't have that kind of power, the rest of the power means nothing. It ain't power at all. It's just a deception. You say, well, what about this? I don't care what this does or that does. It's what the word says, brother. I'm trying to get that to you. It's what the word says. We live by the word, not what some evidence or some carnal something or some experience. That ain't it. Let me tell a story a little bit. I was telling myself. Way back when I first came to this church, I had a camp meeting out in Montgomery Bell, and I went there. It's the first time I knew anything about this church or this people or Jerry Bell or any of you. went there and had an amazing experience with the Holy Spirit. I wasn't born again, but I had an amazing experience, a great baptism. And I was going to church here for several weeks, and then I was going to go home. That was in June. I think it was in August. I was going to go home and visit home, and I couldn't wait to tell my dad and mom, oh my goodness, Dad, you've been wrong. This is real. This is something going on. I went and told him all about it, and I was just so enthused, and he just was working along. He just couldn't show any excitement at all. And I was like, when I was done, he started talking. He laid out his doctrine, and an anointing came with it. And it was a Holy Ghost anointing. Or maybe it wasn't. All I know is when that anointing came, I thought, well, he must be right then. And just like that, I remember walking away. I was so dejected. I went away, I stood there by myself a little bit, I prayed a little bit, and that spirit was there. I said, well, I guess he's been right all this time. I've been wrong. Because he just totally explained away everything that had happened to me. And I went out back and I said, I think you're right. And I quit going to church. And when I look back at it, I remember the spirit that came on me. It was the same spirit I had been raised with, is a beat down. You never live good enough. You're not good enough. Just try to be a good person. You're going to fail miserably. Probably going to go to hell. It was just such a depressing spirit. But it was so religious. And my dad's added his spirit about him was, I'll just be honest. He was Amish. It was just an Amish spirit. Just like the Amish church where you just try, you work and work and try as hard as you can, but you don't know what you're going to get when you get to judgment. It was horrible. And if I would have had a born-again pastor, he would have preached that thing off of me in another week and I'd have been fine. So I went to talk to him about it. It didn't do me a bit of good. You know what it was all about? God wanted me to experience this so I know what I'm talking about tonight. So when I get up here and preach, I know what I'm talking about. It's not just a doctrine. I've lived this kind of stuff. I know what I'm talking about, brother and sister. And let me tell you right now, that Holy Spirit is not a depressed spirit. That Holy Spirit, it will not get you to just be a legalist or whatever. Satan will try to depress you. Don't get me wrong. But that Holy Spirit in there will get you. It will give you life. It will give you power. It will give you joy. It will give you peace if you just turn yourself loose and let it have its way. You can walk in faith. And you can be strong in faith. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. They find rest. They find their confidence. Some other spirit. All right, let me see what I got here. So I can kind of wind this up. Now, the first Adam walked out with Eve because she was deceived. But there's been somebody here in this Laodicean age, she knew different because she put him out of her bed, her room. Isn't that amazing? She put him out. She didn't want him. He's on the outside knocking, trying to get back in, yet she had got coaches. She was set high. She was had in need of nothing, she said, but didn't know she was naked and miserable. That's the church that deceives the very elect if it was possible. Notice she had power, false power. She took part of the word, but didn't take the rest of it. The church that deceives the very elect if it was possible, brother and sister, has to be message believers because nothing else is even close enough. It has to be message churches. It has to be message preachers. It has to be message personalities. It has to be. Are you going to be deceived by a Methodist doctrine? Of course not. She had need of nothing. She had a power that lying wonders. It's what's deceiving her because she can perform miracles. And she has the word. My. He said, what's the biggest lie that was ever told? It's got 99% truth in it. That's what the problem is. said, now Jesus rebuked them for, he said, search the scriptures, for in them you claim you have everlasting life. They are they that testify of me. These scriptures that I'm asking you to search, they tell you who I am. And Brother Branham, if he was here today, I'm going to say it right now. This message that you claim you believe, search the scriptures. They are they that have eternal life, and you're the ones who reject. I'm not talking about you, but message believers are rejecting the very thing they say they believe. Brother Branham said, they say they believe me, but they don't, because they don't do what I tell them. He said they wouldn't lean to what the word said. They leaned to what their understanding was. They leaned to their own understanding. And the scripture tells that they were veiled. The veil of their own theology had blinded them. How come a message believer who doesn't believe and listen to the ministry, they're just living the tapes, how come they don't look past that and see that the ministry is still the very voice of God speaking, because they've been veiled by their own theology that someone told them they wanted it that way. Because see, if I just listen to tapes, I don't have to sit under the ministry of someone else and have him preach to me and speak to me like that. I can just have the prophet, and I can keep my pride and not have it squished every time I go to church. He said, you say, Brother Brandon, what are you getting at? I'm getting to this. That thing is occurring again till men and women will lean to certain church that they have joined and belong to, no matter what the Word of God says about it. They go right on that, leaning to their own understanding. Boy, you can see that all over. Well, that's Brother so-and-so. I'd rather listen to him than what you have to say. Who cares what the person's last name is? What about the Word? What does the Word have to say about it? He said, they go right on with their own leaning to their own understanding, ignoring the Word of God as if it never even been written. It's ungermatized seed of human life. It's got physical life, but no spiritual life in it to be quickened. The veil was over their face. Did you hear what he just said? The reason they do this is because they're ungermatized seed. All they have is physical life. They never have spiritual life to begin with. But boy, they're religious. Ungermatized seed of human life. I think somewhere in the Bible it calls them brute beasts. Just taken, made to be taken and destroyed. Wow. See, I would not say something like that on my own. But the Bible says it. The prophet says it. When you recognize who you are, compare it to this. You could have been that. Why are you not ungermatized seed? Why are you not just physical life? What did you do? What made you special? So Brother Branham said, you're going to hear him down there singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. You say, Brother Branham made it. Amazing Grace. He just elected you. He chose you. He knew what choice you'd make. Put that seed in there to come to life. Let me finish this right here. One more quote. He said, there was one man who did lean to his own understanding. His name was Judas Iscariot. Oh, I don't see how he could have done it. He walked face to face with Christ, just like Eve did in the beginning. He had seen the vindication. He looked at God in the face, like Eve did in the cool of the evening. Eve looked at Christ in the cool of the evening in the garden. And Judas had sat in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Gethsemane in many places. Had looked at the same Christ, had heard him teach, prove himself by the word, vindicated to be the prophet that Moses had spoke of would be raised up, told them in the scripture who he was and all about it. They had seen it proved by God that he was, and then he leaned to his own understanding. People can take the messages, take the books, take the tapes, and listen to what the prophet said. And then lean to their own understanding. How could he do it? It was because he never had it down here in the first place. He wasn't a germatized seed. That's why they do it, friends, because they never had the seed in them to begin with. They do not have the revelation of who they are. They only have a religion. They're resting on a religion. And when you're resting on a religion, you are going to get off the word. You're going to be off someplace else instead of on the word itself, instead of the revelation. They will be deceived, every one of them. No matter if they sit in this church or any other church, without that seed in there, you're going to be deceived. He was the son of perdition, born out of perdition, returned back to perdition. But he went out, and maybe he might have had an idea of his understanding. He might have thought that Jesus, he had, listen to this, He had so much respect for him. He said, now, you know, I might sell him for 30 pieces of silver, and if I do, I'll have some money and I can do something with that. And he's able to deliver himself. See, he didn't know in the scripture that he had raised up to take that same place. He loved Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. He had respect for Jesus. He knew he had power to do whatever he wanted. But yet, he took his own thought about it. He said, well, I can be this kind of message believer, or I can have this kind of church, or I can do this, or I can have that, and just lean and take your own idea and mix it. He said, neither does the people today realize what condition that they're in. It's ordained for this Laodicea church to be in this condition, putting Christ on the outside, him knocking, trying to get back in. No cooperation, nowhere though. Vindicating his word in the day now like he did in every day. And they walk right away from it, leaning to their own understanding. That's all there is to it. You gotta have rest. You have to find a place to rest. This world is too rough. This life is too hard. You gotta find some place to rest. And countless millions run to the Bible. And I'm glad they do, because it's the best place to go. But without revelation, it's just another religion. And they get rest. They find peace. They find rest. They find comfort in the Bible. That's good. And some of them are going to be saved. Brother and sister, the bride is different. Oh my, Brother Branham came to call it the bride. He came to call her. He came to get her ready. He came to a message to prepare the bride. The bride hath made herself ready. Why? By taking the word for her day and letting it manifest to her. That's what she's doing. Brother and sister, if we are this bride, part of this bride that we believe and we claim to be, just rest. All is well. Well, Brother Phil, things don't look all that well. No, they don't. There's things going on in this world. I was reading something today. There's a cartoon out, you know, all the kids' cartoon. One of them called Drag Tots. Have you heard about it? Little tots, they dress like drag queens. It's called Drag Tots. And it's some kind of a science show where these little kids that go around, they learning all this educational stuff. Almost all the cartoons, the kids' cartoons are coming out with very pro-gay, same-sex marriage kind of stuff. A lot of that's going on. They're teaching them when they're 2 and 3 years old. How are you going to tell that person when they're 6 or 8 or 10? Well, that's wrong. They're getting them when they're very young. I just want to go home. I think I've seen enough of this world. It's good to rest, isn't it? Know who you are. Know God had called you. Know that something inside came to life. Let's stand. God bless you. Lord Jesus, it's just grace. Just amazing grace. Father, you chose an elect. There is a people that you chose from way back beyond time. And they were your family and they were your kids. Then you put in a plan to have something called time. And you gave them a home. And it says in Job, when you were laying the foundation of the world, they were shouting for joy because they saw that's home, the first glimpse of home. And Lord, we look around this world, what man has done to it, and it's crumbled and decayed, and we know it needs a renovation, but it's still home. We long for that place, Lord Jesus, where all sin is gone. Nothing but love. ask, whatever it takes to get every one of us ready, do that, Lord. Make sure that none of us miss the rapture. Make sure we're all ready. Lord, it will be worth it all. Bless us now, Lord. Thank you for coming tonight and speaking and encouraging us. Help us keep us safe on the way home. Bring us back Sunday, Lord Jesus, in a right frame of mind and mental and physical and spiritual health, Lord, that we can enjoy your presence and hear what you have to say, Lord. I ask this in your name.